So Ray, let me just, because we started recording, give me 1 second. I want to welcome everybody and then I'm going to come back to you. All right. So everybody, yeah, thanks for that, Ray. Everybody, welcome to the call. We're officially started and we are recording this call. Right now I have people muted except for Ray, which is one of our power agents, and he was sharing something and he also sent me a question. For those of you that this is your first time being on the call, how this works is that this is an opportunity for the next 60 minutes for you to ask me questions, for me to coach you, to go over stuff, to give you ideas that are hopefully relevant to the market and what's happening right now. And what we're going to do, there's a lot of things. I do want to say this for new power agents. There's a lot of great things in the Power Program website under the word classroom. After you log in to the website, you go to the word classroom, and there's some scripts and dialogues and checklists and audio files. There's a plethora of stuff. So make sure when you get a chance as you go to the website and poke around it. Now, also what you'll notice on the homepage of the Power Program website is usually a magazine and an interview and recording. So we do that every month. This month, we rescheduled the call ahead of our normal time, which means that our magazine and our interview is not on the website yet, and it will be by Monday. So look for that next week, and there's a lot of bonus material in the magazine. We have one of our power agents on the call by the name of Ray Holloway. He's a student of mine that attended my live training class, which is called Sure Results, a three-day class, full 3 days, and he just moved to Atlanta. So he had sent me a question that he wanted me to cover, and he was just sharing something about his transition to Atlanta, which is in January. So, Ray, you were saying that you were calling FSBOs and expireds, and you weren't getting a lot of accomplished there, or you were getting a lot of rejection. You weren't getting the appointments. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, so pick up your story and just keep it tight for us, so that way, because we only got 60 minutes.
Okay, I will. And so after calling, got a little discouraged, I said, you know, I'm going to go back into it and really pumped it up. So I did. On Sunday, I called, and I got this lady for FSBO. I called from the Red X. And so she said she wanted to list her house, sell her house on her own. So I asked her, is there a reason why you want to go about doing this on your own without the assistance of an agent? She said, well, she's not prepared to pay that 6% commission. But if I bring her a buyer, then I will pay her, she will pay me 3%. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at the price of the house that she was selling it at, and I asked her, how did she arrive at the price? And she mentioned that there were a house that's close by that was selling for that. So she kind of come up with, I guess, estimate. So
okay.
I said, I kept it simple. I said, would you have a problem if I come over just to take a look at your house and we can take it there? And she said, no, not at all. Come over. So I did, and I went over there, and I brought one of the reports you suggested that we should walk with. I brought one of that, and I gave it to her. She actually gave
me a dollar. I'm sorry, you brought what, Ray? You brought what with you?
A report. I don't quite remember which one it is. I think it's...
It was a report, you said, because you broke up a little bit. A report. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the one about sellers beware, 11 items you should know before.
Gotcha, yeah.
I brought that report over to her. So she took me through the house and stuff. And we kept it with her. So the following day, the Monday, she called me and was asking me a couple of questions. And I did tell her some observation that I had noticed about the house. I kept started off first and telling her that. And then certain things that were not so good, I kept it really nice and tell her what she could do to improve it. So then I asked her, would you be okay if I really to come over, do some research on it, and did some comps and come over and sit with yourself and your husband and we could talk about it more? And she said, sure, you could come on Sunday, which is this Sunday coming. And if I like
and
what
this
you're
is the
saying,
question. This is the question that we're coming to now, the question which was how to present the comps. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So she said, you can come on Sunday. If I'm impressed with what you have to say, then I'll give you my house to list. So,
well, that sounds awesome. So it sounds like you may get this listing and you don't want to screw it up, and that's why you're asking me, yeah?
Exactly.
All right. So, Ray, let me let me say a few things about what you just said so everybody can get value in what you said, because there were so many things that you said that was great, and I know people probably were half paying attention at certain parts. So, first of all, gang, Ray moved to Atlanta, Georgia. It's a totally new market in January. So you can all feel what that must feel like when you're going into an unknown market, an unknown office, trying to build relationships with realtors in your office, trying to get a lay of the land. So that in of itself is an added obstacle and challenge that somebody's got to deal with. Now, even with that, Ray, and it's because, you know, I'm glad that he's a graduate of the 3-day Sure Results program with me, that he knows that what you need to do is call FSBOs and expireds. Even though he wasn't having success, he persevered and kept going through, pushing through it, and now he has this appointment. So, first of all, Ray, I want to acknowledge you for the perseverance and keep doing what you know you have to do. If you do the right activities, you're going to get the right results. So that's number one, which is great what you just said. The second thing is, especially in the South, okay, one of the dialogues, which, gang, the dialogue is in calling FSBO dialogue, is under the word classroom in the Power Program website after you log in. Some of you are, if you have a problem logging into the website, you can't find your username and password, just click on one of those links there on the homepage. Whether it's to ask us a question or to retrieve your username, password, and you'll be able to get it. All right. Now, one of the dialogues in getting in the door with the FSBOs and expired, which Ray said is what he did, and it does work especially well in the South, and that is, would you be offended if I just stopped by to see your home? Now, I'm a New Yorker, and that dialogue even works in New York, but it's especially effective. And the reason why is because, quite frankly, people are nicer in the southern part of the U.S., but I will say this, is that you do not want to ask that, would you be offended if I stopped by to see your house, too soon in the conversation. You've got to make sure you're building rapport on the telephone. And what I see, if I were to give it like a time, it seems like a good time is like when you've been on the phone with this homeowner 4 to 7 minutes, that's when it's good to ask that, would you be offended? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the FSBO dialogue. I have other questions to get to, but I just wanted to highlight what Ray had said. Okay, so now, Ray, the other thing you said, though, I do want to address really quick, is that they said they didn't want to pay the 6% commission, but she did say if you bring me a buyer, she'll pay you. Is that correct?
That's correct, 3%.
3%, okay. When somebody says, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a fee, the great objection handling technique that I love, that I teach, is to say to somebody, well, ma'am, let's pretend that you were going to have, if you had a daughter and you were going to have a wedding and you wanted to buy her a wedding cake and you went to 6 different bakers and you said to all these bakers, you know, I want the best wedding cake you possibly can bake for me. And whichever one of the 6 of you does the best job, that's the cake I'm going to pay for. You know, how many bakers are actually going to roll up their sleeves working hard for you to bake the cake? None of them, because you haven't committed to anyone to roll up their sleeves. When you say to the realtors, you know, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you, you don't have any one realtor rolling up their sleeves to get to work for you to get the property sold. That's the first challenge. The second challenge is when you say, bring me a buyer and I'll pay you a fee, well, that's like, let me ask you a question. Would you, Ray, I'm going to role play with you. Ray, okay. Let's say somebody was going to sue you. Would you go to court without an attorney? Yes
no
or
way.
No? No way.
No.
Now, worse than that, let's say you went to court without an attorney. Let's say you did do that, and you're right, that wouldn't make sense. But let's say you did. Would you then, if the other person who's suing you, if they had an attorney, would you pay for their attorney to sue you?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, you probably pause because you're like, that question doesn't even make sense. Who in the world would do that?
Webinar.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing here, Ray. You see, any agent that comes in to show your house, they're representing the buyer. They're not representing you. So you're letting a licensed trained agent come into your house to work against you. because they're working for the buyer's interest. And on top of that, you're paying them 3% to do that. That's like going to court without representation, but paying for the other person's representation. If you're willing to pay the 3%, Ray, why don't you pay the other 3% to have me represent you and to promote your property and to deal with the other agents and get you the highest possible price? Doesn't that make sense?
Sure does.
Okay, so that's a couple of techniques that you didn't ask me for, but it jumped out in your story with me. Now, let's get to the real question that you asked, Ray. And the question is, you're going on this appointment, and how do you present the comps? Now, what was pretty cute that I say cute, and I mean that in a nice way. For those of you who don't know, Ray not only recorded his question to me through the Power Program website, but he also emailed me the comps that he pulled off of MLS. And I thought that was great that you did that, because I'm looking at the comps. I'm not going to look at the numbers and give you advice on the pricing of it, Ray. If you're not familiar with the pricing right now, because you're still learning Atlanta, you know, you may want to consider to bring another agent with you to help you with that, or sit down with another agent and show them the comps and see what they say they think the pricing should be on the property. But what I'm going to give you is some skill on how to present those comps. Is that okay?
That's okay.
All right. Now, the problem, as you know, Ray, is that whenever we present our CMA, usually the homeowner will look at the comps that we're showing them, and they'll say, oh, I know that house. I'm going to do an Atlanta accent. I know. I don't know if this is Atlanta, but I know that house. That house is not as nice as mine. I mean, when we had the house built, we used the thicker wood, and we used longer nails, and we have an in-ground pool. So what they start doing, Ray, is they start shooting holes in the comps. Are you with me?
Yes.
So what you want to do, gang, whenever you present a CMA, is before you present your comps, you want to actually sell the whole concept of your comps beforehand. Let me give you an example. Ray, have you ever had appraisers contact you looking for comps? Have they ever called you up and say, hey, can you help me? I got a property that I'm doing some comps on. Has that ever happened to you?
No, I've never had that experience.
Okay. Ask around in this company that you're in Atlanta. It's better if you can get, let me just give you the concept. And if you can get some letters from appraisers, just a couple, and they're like just a few sentences, to put it on their stationery and say, dear Ray, I'm appraising a property at 1010 Hunahuna Lane in Atlanta, Georgia. Can you please, if you have any additional comps, could you please send them over to me? Okay. If you can get a couple of letters like that, Ray, from appraisers, and maybe your broker in Atlanta can help you get some of these, because your broker may have had some people, some appraisers, contact his office. And but they never got it in writing. So all the broker has to do is maybe make a couple of calls to appraisers, say, hey, listen, I know we've given you comps before. Do me a favor. I want to put this in our listing appointment. Can you give me a couple of letters on your letterhead? Okay. Or give me one letter on your letterhead. So if he asks two or three appraisers, so you've got two or three letters from appraisers asking for comps. Am I clear so far? I want to make sure I didn't confuse you. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm following.
All right, good. Because here's what I want you to do, Ray. And I'll show you how to do it if you can't get the letters, because it's Friday and your appointment is Sunday, so you may not have the time. But if you have the letters, you would do this. If you're the homeowner, I would say, you know, Ray, so let's look at the pricing. By the way, Ray, before you ever present price, you have to make sure that the homeowner feels like you're the best skilled agent. One of the mistakes that homeowners make is they hire agents based on two things: the commission the agent charges and the price that they tell them. And that is so horrible that homeowners would do that. And I would say this to a homeowner: if you were going to invest in stocks, if you just won the lottery and you needed a couple of people on your team, maybe you need a financial planner, maybe you need an attorney. So here you have this lottery money that you're getting. Would you find the cheapest attorney or the cheapest financial planner, or would you find the best skill to help you with your money?
And the best of course, skilled.
Yeah, the best skilled. And that's to the your home is your lottery ticket. Your home is your most important asset that you have, I'm guessing. And so what you don't want to do is find the cheapest or the less skilled. So the question that I have to ask you, Ray, is based on everything that I just shared with you, putting the price to the side, because I don't determine the price. The market determines the price. You know, give your friends, if you invest in stock, when you look at Facebook or Google and all that stuff, these stocks are selling way over, people say, that what they should be paying for it. But the reason why it's selling is because the buyers of the stocks are dictating the price. Do you follow me? Yeah. So it's the buyers that determine the price, not the not the product itself, nor the realtor. So putting the price to the side, based on everything that I shared with you, do you feel confident with me and my company that we're perhaps the best skilled to help you get your property sold? Now, Ray, if they don't answer yes to that, you're going to have a problem, because if the price is less than what they would like, then they're not going to list with you. So you want to make sure that they mentally say, you know what, I feel good about Ray, I trust Ray, I want to work with Ray. And if you don't want to use the word skill, if you want to use the word trust, do you feel like of all the other possible agents, do you feel like you can trust me and that I would work in your best interest? Do you follow what I'm saying here, Ray?
Yeah, I'm following.
All right. Now, once the homeowner says that, yeah, I feel like I can trust you, Ray. I feel like you have my best interest in up front for you. I said, all right, now let's look at the pricing. Now, let me explain something, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, when it comes to the price. Let's say that we we asked way more than what the house is worth, and based on the comps. And let's say that the buyer pays for it, and now we go to contract, and now they're going to go to the bank, and the bank is going to ask for, the buyer is going to ask the bank for 80% or 90% of what they're paying for the house. They're going to send out an appraiser. Now, if the appraiser says the property's not worth what they're paying, the appraiser tells the bank. The bank tells the buyer. The buyers tell us, and the deal falls apart. And the sad thing is that this all this time we've taken the house off the market, and that could take us a month or even 2 months for this to find out, and then the deal falls apart. Now we got to put the property back on the market. Now I'm assuming you don't want that to happen. Am I correct, Ray?
That's right.
All right. So what I'm going to show you is actually what the bank appraiser is going to look at. So in a sense, Ray, what we're looking at right now is like almost like inside information. We're going to see what they're going to see before they see it. Now, so as a matter of fact, Ray, let me show you this. Here's a couple of letters from bank appraisers calling me, asking me for comps, because my company has our finger on the heartbeat of what's happening in the marketplace, and we've accessed all the information. So they come to us asking to help them appraise their properties. So my point here, Ray, is we're going to look at what the bank's going to look at before they see it. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, Ray, the reason why this is important, what I just said to you, is what I'm doing is I'm validating the comps before I present it. When a homeowner argues with us when we present the comps to them, it's because we haven't pre-sold the comps. We haven't pre-validated. So what we're saying to them is like, what we're going to look at now is what the bank's going to look at. And this is their information that they're going to make the decision whether they're going to give the loan or not. So we're really fortunate. It's almost like you're making it seem like it's inside information here. Now, when you present the comps and they look at the comps, if they now start to pick it apart and say, I know that house, it's not as nice as mine, and da-da-da-da, then you say one of these things. You say, I agree with you, but here's the thing. The bank, they're not looking inside these houses. They're looking at these data sheets that I'm looking at with you. And even though you think your house is nicer than theirs, and you've been in those houses, and you say you're seeing it, the bank hasn't been in them, nor will they go into them, because they only care about square footage, bedroom, but basic information. The bank is going to be conservative to protect their interest. And I know this kind of stinks, but this is what we're looking at. And by the way, these prices that we're looking at are the realtor prices where the homeowner paid the 6 or 7% commission. Did that help you, Ray?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. Do you have any questions about it?
One question I have, though, for me to be able to convince them that the bank looks at these appraisers. I mean,
yes.
This comes. I would have to be able to have the on the letterhead from the appraisal company, right? I couldn't be using those comps that I sent you.
Well, you can use those comps that you sent me. You're still using comps. You're just pre-selling that the comps that we're going to look at is the same comps that banks are going to be looking at. Okay.
Okay, got you.
Now, and the reason for the letter is the letter is really validated. So you can use all the dialogue that I just said, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
But you, by the way, we have some people that have called in after the call, and I know some of you may want to ask me questions. I'm going to open it up in a minute. I'll tell you how I can hear you in a minute for those of you that just called in. So, Ray, if you have the actual letters to show the homeowner, that would be better. Okay. If you don't have the letters, because it validates that you have bank appraisers calling your company for comps. If you don't have the letters, you can still do the dialogue. It just won't have the same power. Okay.
Okay.
So when you get off the phone with me, ask your broker about this concept. Ask him, has banks ever called in the past? Asking for any comps from the office, or does she know the broker of any bank appraisers they have a relationship with? We just need it as a visual with on the letterhead, Ray, okay? We just need letterhead with one or two sentences requesting comps. And I don't want to sound wrong here. I mean, the properties can be fictitious. I don't want fake letters. I mean, you can have fake letters as long as it validates that actually does happen in your company where appraisers do call for comps. So we just want that visual to represent it, okay?
Okay.
All right, great. All right, super. Go ahead.
Yeah, another question I have is, all of what you have just told me, I should actually make mention of that in my presentation itself, in the listing presentation.
Yes, before you present the comps, you want to sell the power of your comps. You want to sell the homeowner on the concept that the bank is the one that's actually the buyer. See, the buyer is buying emotionally, but the bank is buying it financially because the bank is giving the majority of the money. So there's actually two people buying the house here. There's the emotional purchase from the buyer, and then there's the logic dollars and cents investment from a bank standpoint. And they're the biggest partner here. So we have to sell the bank that this property is worth the investment that they're going to make. Boy, what I just said is really good. I've never said it that way before. My gosh, I am so impressed with myself right now. Because did you get what I just said, Ray? That was really powerful.
Yeah, I got you. There are two people in the purchasing process.
What's that?
The bank.
What's that?
You're saying that there are two people in the purchasing process. The bank that has a financial interest, and the buyer that has an emotional interest. And the bank's interest is much more stronger than the buyer's interest, which is an emotional one.
Exactly. And that what I just said, damn, this is good. What I just said, too, is another reason why people can't go FSBO, because they don't have relationships with appraisers or banks or have access to this information that we're showing them. You know, one of the reasons why we sell properties for more is because we're out in the field on a regular basis working with all these different people that have an influence of whether a house sells or not. So, yes, but going back to Mr. and Mrs. Hanahan, there's two people that need to buy this house. There's the buyer and the seller. There's the buyer, and then there's the bank. And the bank is the one that actually has a 90% or 80% or more financial investment in this purchase. And they don't care that your house is nicer because they ain't living in the house. What they care about is what's the square footage? How does that compare to other square footages? Is it a good investment? If it's not, we ain't giving the money. This is great. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to have that conversation, Ray, before they see the comps. So that way they understand the concept of financing and what goes into a house closing. Finding the buyer is only part of what we do. Once we find the buyer, we've got to get it to closing. So from contract to closing, there's all these other steps that need to occur, and this is the one of the biggest one, and that's getting financing for the buyer. Okay?
Okay.
Great question. Okay, now, Ray, I want you to mute yourself, and how you're going to do that is you're going to hit star 6 one time, and now I won't hear you anymore. The rest of you on the call, if you have a question, you're all muted. If you want to ask me something, you have to hit star 6 to unmute yourself. And I want to make and if you want to, so if you, when you hit star 6, that'll unmute you. Now, Leon, are you on the call? Leon, you had a question, and I need you to hit star 6 one time, and just be patient. It takes a minute for it to kick in so I can answer your question. Okay, so Leon, here's, I'll answer the question, because by the way, gang, if you ever ask me a question via email and you're not on the call, I'll still answer it. We're recording this call, so you can listen to it later. We'll upload it to the Power Program website. Here's what Leon's question was. He said, hello, Daryl, great call this morning. He sent it in last month. He said, really great tips, but I do have a question. Can you guide me in selecting a great website provider? For example, what contact should be on the first and front page and subsequent pages? What information will catch what a buyer or seller would do business with? What information should I offer? Now, here's what I'll say, Leon, as far as that question is concerned. I'm not a website person, so I can't say what should go on it, what shouldn't go on it. But I did do a little research for you. And for everybody, what I'm about to share with you is goes beyond a website. There's a company called Virtual Results, and what they do is they have, which I think is awesome, it's created by this guy by the name of Jim Marks. Jim Marks is, he's very influential in the tech world. He's extremely brilliant. He created a company. He sold it, did extremely well. Now he is he created another company called VirtualResults.net. What they do is they don't just create websites. They help an agent with their whole social media marketing plan, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's LinkedIn, and plus the website. So this goes beyond the question, Leon, that you were asking for. So the website, I'll give it to everybody again, and you may want to write it down. Go to the website, check it out for yourself, see what they have to offer. And it's called virtualresults.net, virtualresults.net. And just poke around, check it out, kick the tires. The other suggestion I have is I would Google things. It's amazing. Sometimes we forget this. If you have a question about anything, I don't care what it is, if you Google in the question, you probably will find it. So let's say you Googled, you know, top real estate websites. I bet you you're going to get a ton of hits on something like that. You'll see samples. And what I personally would do is, and I'll tell you, actually, I do this in my speaking business, is I would look at other websites and see what you like about those, make notes of it. And I'll tell you a way to keep it organized. We use this software called Evernote. And I know some of you use this. And I was just at an education director's conference this week. I just got back last night. And they talked about this too. Evernote.com, you download its little app that sits on your computer. And it's like a file cabinet. If you ever see a website that you really love for something, you can drop it into a file folder that you create in Evernote. I'm not going to teach it right now, but just check out Evernote. We're going to be redesigning my speaking website. So what I've done is I've looked at other speakers' websites and saw what do they do, what do they have. And the ones that I like, I copied it into my Evernote folder. And so when we sit down to go over what the website's going to look at, we're going to click through, and that's how we're going to do it. So that's my suggestion. All right, now, next question. Let me explain. Let me see. We're going to hold off on that one. We did Ray. Okay, now, Tina. Well, that's a long question. So before I do Tina, I do want to give everybody some extra material. Tina, are you on the call? Tina Denora? Okay, Tina's not on the call. All right, let me cover.
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Tina. How you doing?
Hey, Daryl. Good. How are you?
Good. You know, Tina, I called you about the shiny penny list, right?
Yep.
And so I want to go over that with you again. But plus, there was another question that I saw that you had in there, and that was that we didn't talk about, you and I, and that was how to stay focused in your business. Do you remember asking me that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to cover that with you, being that I missed that question originally. And but before I do that, I want to share something for everybody that I was thinking about the FSBO campaign. You know, I was talking to a bunch of agents this past couple of weeks about getting listings. The market has improved. We need to get more listings. More buyers are coming out. Inventory is low. So, gang, I want to give you some ideas, rapid fire, as to how to increase getting more listings, okay? So you should jot this down. And after I do this, Tina, I'm going to talk to you about staying focused, and then I'm going to open up the call to everybody else who has a question. Now, I know some of you have been trying to email me questions during the call. I can't read my email while I'm doing the call. So if you want to ask me a question, do it now live, but let me first do this. Let me go over the FSBO campaign. I'm going to answer Tina's question, then I'll open up the call to everybody else. So start thinking about a question you want to ask me, gang, okay? Here's what I'm going to say about FSBOs. We know inventory is down. We're going into the warmer months. Gang, listen to me. The agent that has the most listings in their inventory going into the coming months is the ones that are going to have an awesome financial surge of cash in the summertime and going into the fall. So if there's any time for you to be focusing on getting listings, you have to do it now. Now, I know for some of you there's challenges. Like, Daryl, there aren't FSBOs in my market, so that's not an option. Well, listen, first of all, I'll bet you that that's not true. If you haven't been focused on working them on a daily basis, you probably don't realize just how many FSBOs are out there. But if that's true, I'm still going to give you some extra ideas in a second. But let me finish with the FSBO. Number one, FSBOs, if you want a software that's going to find the FSBOs for you, I'm going to give you a domain name. Some of you are familiar with this. I've taught it in my live seminars. Go to this domain called darylspecial.com. darylspecial.com. When you go there, it's called Red X, and you kick the tires, look at it, look at the demo video. When you're ready to commit to it, there's a coupon code field. When you type in the word SMILE, you're going to get $150 waived off of the setup fee. You're going to get a month for free. So you're going to save $260 that I negotiated with this company. They're an incredible company. Ray mentioned it just a moment ago on the call. So go to darylspecial.com. Use that software to help you find FSBOs. The second thing when it comes to FSBOs, look at the dialogue that's under the word classroom on the Power Program website and use that. Number three is expireds. The expired dialogue is also on the Power Program website. Pay attention to expireds. There's going to be, as listings come out, there's going to be more expireds. Red X also keeps track of the expireds too, that darylspecial.com site. So just go there and do that. The next thing is, I think this is an awesome idea. I love this idea. It's a simple idea. It's going to get you so many listing appointments. And that's a neighborhood open house. What a neighborhood open house is, well, hang on. Let's say you have no listings. You can ask an agent, can you do an open house on their listing if they're willing to let you keep the buyer? Some agents in your offices will let you do that. And in addition to that, you may want to do a neighborhood open house on that property, or if you get one listing, do a neighborhood open house. Here's what the neighborhood open house is. You don't advertise it. You do it by invitation only. You go to the stationery store, Office Max, Staples, whatever, and you get that laser printing paper, and it looks like wedding invitation. You create this wedding invitation that says you're personally invited. And when they open it up, they're personally invited to a neighborhood open house. It's exclusively just for the neighbors. And here's what you need to say. Because the homeowners will not be home, I will be there to answer any questions you have about the house. Now, you take this wedding invitation that's really to the open house, and you put it, you handwrite the envelopes, you put regular stamps, so when people get it, it'll look like a wedding invitation. They'll open it up. When they open it up, they'll see it's an open house, but it's only for the neighborhood. Now, when they read it, they're going to see it says, because the homeowner will not be home. Well, if you tell neighbors that they can come see their neighbor's house and the neighbor will not be home, if you mail out 50 of those, you're going to get at least 30 to 40 show up. Now, what's awesome about this concept is the neighborhood open house, anybody that comes through, they're not a buyer. You know they're only neighbors because you didn't advertise it. You only mail to these people. So the only people coming through the front doors you know are the neighborhood people. Now, what's brilliant about this idea is that as you're touring the house with them, you're not focusing on the house itself. You're focusing on building a relationship with these people. As you're touring the house, you say, how long have you lived in the neighborhood? What do you like best about the neighborhood? What style of house do you live? Have you ever thought of moving? If you were going to move, where would you move to? Have you ever done an updated market analysis on your property? I think every homeowner should have that done at least once a year. Why don't I do this? I don't mind. Why don't I find the time where I can come over, take a look at your house, and I can give you an updated market analysis. You may be shocked because the market has improved greatly, and it's good for you to know what the value of the most important asset that you have in your home. So if you have 30 neighbors come over and you have that kind of dialogue that I just did with you as you're touring the house with them, you're probably going to get at least 25 appointments out of 30. So I highly recommend the public open house. Neighborhood open house, same thing. In the markets where you have improved, where the prices have gone up, I would do an over-the-phone market analysis. Let me explain what this is. This is an old technique I used to teach when the market was really strong. I put it away when we had short sales, and now the market's coming back. What the over-the-phone market analysis is, the concept is you create an ad, a postcard, it doesn't matter, but you would say free over-the-phone market property evaluation, whatever you want to call it. And the concept is you tell the homeowners in the ad or in the postcard that all they have to do is answer some questions over the phone about the property, and you can tell them what their property is worth. Now, the reason why this is so awesome is because, number one, there's probably people that are thinking about selling, and they're afraid to call a realtor because they don't want the realtor to come on over and give them a sales pitch. Or they are definitely going to sell, and they definitely want to do it on their own. And so some people do have guilt, and they don't want to call a realtor to come over just to use them, knowing that they're just going to put it on the prop on as FSBO. But over the phone, they'll be more apt to do it. So you're going to have these people calling saying, I saw your postcard, I saw your flyer, I saw your ad, I'm interested in getting an idea of what my house is worth. I would do one of these. Tina, are you still with me right now? Tina, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Tina, let's pretend that you're a homeowner. You call me, right? And you say, I'm calling about the over-the-phone market analysis, okay? And I'll say, well, hi, Tina. Well, thanks for that. How are you, by the way?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Well, Tina, here's how it works, is that I need to just ask you a few questions about your property, and then what I'll do is I'll go to the computer system, do a scientific market analysis, and then I'll call you back with the information. So do you have time right now for me to ask you some questions?
Sure.
Okay, great. So what kind of how many bedrooms do you have?
Three.
Three, okay, great. And how many baths, full baths?
One and a half.
Okay, great. And what style of house is it, Tina?
It's a twin.
It's a twin. Oh, great. I don't, you know, it's funny, Tina. I don't know what a twin is. In New York, we don't have twins. What's a twin?
It's side by side. One on one side. Yep.
So it's like, so there's like two families in the one, like, is that how it is?
Pretty much. It's like one big, it's like split in half. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And how long have you lived in the property?
3 years.
3 years? Are you thinking about selling now? Now, here's what I'm trying to do, Tina, because you threw me a little bit with the twin because I don't know the market. But what you want to do is when they call in on this free over-the-phone market analysis, you're going to try and build rapport with them. So if, let's say, Tina, just as an example, you'd say, I live in a colonial. I'd say, oh, that's great. Colonials are one of my favorites. Is it an older colonial, a newer colonial? And if you said it's an older colonial, it's like, oh, my gosh, don't tell me you have hardwood floors. And, oh, I love hardwood floors. So what I'm doing right now is I'm building relationship with everybody who's listening on the call. I'm building relationship with Tina. And then what happens by the end of the call, Tina and I have this great relationship. Tina, awesome. I'm very excited. Let me see. Let me pull the information. I'll call you back. Are you going to be around in a couple of hours? And she says, yes. I'll be okay, great. Now, when I call Tina back, I do one of these. So, Tina, I have the information. Are you ready? And she says, yes. Okay, so your house is worth somewhere between $400,000 and $450,000 from what I can see. Now, I know, Tina, that's probably a big spread, $50,000. You probably do some serious shopping with $50,000. But for me to actually come in with a more accurate number, I would need to see the house. And I would, you know, before I called you, I just happened to look at my schedule. I'm going to be in the area tonight. If you want, I don't mind. I can stop by, take a look at the inside to give you a more accurate number. And I also have a report that I give sellers, you know, the 11 mistakes to avoid when selling your own home. I can drop that off too. Does that work for you if I came over around 6, or would 7 be better? All right. So anyway. All right. So the concept here, gang, is basically, you're making the phone ring with a free over-the-phone market analysis. You're trying to build rapport with the homeowner. If you built the rapport well and then you call them back, you give them a big range on the pricing, and that way you kind of tease them basically that, well, I hope it's on the higher end. I would like to know. And if they trust you enough from the first call where you built rapport well, they will ask you to come over. So that's another thing I would definitely recommend. The other thing is, any of you that have past clients or your broker has past clients and the agent who is involved in that sale through the office, if they're not working in the company anymore, those are past clients of the office that no one is working. I would get that information from the broker, create your own database of past clients. I would send out a certificate telling them they're getting a free annual updated pricing of their property because the market has changed considerably and we want to bring everybody up to speed as to what their house is worth. So there's that to generate leads. Gang, I'm giving you a whole bunch of ideas to help you build listing inventory. Another thing is we're moving into 4th of July. I know people love to do 4th of July flags. If a lot of people do that in your market, I wouldn't do it then. I would try and do something different. I will tell you, I started thinking this idea is, what if you created your own holiday that was like, you know, smile holiday? You know, it's like smile today because for no reason, just because it makes you feel good or something like that. Anyway, I was just messing around with this. And I Googled, and I found that those little flags that you can stick in people's lawns, you can actually have them custom made. So I found a website for you. It's called flagsmade.com, flags, the plural, made.com. And if you go there, you can have customized flags that cost about a couple of dollars for like 200 or so. If you wanted to look at other companies, I didn't spend a lot of time on this, just a little bit for you guys. I will tell you how I found it is the Google search needs to be stick flags. So those little flags you stick in the lawn, they're actually called stick flags. So if you Google customize stick flags, you'll find a whole bunch of other companies out there, and then you can compare pricing. I think running ads is a good thing again if it's cost effective for you to do about now's a good time to sell or the CMA that we talked about over the phone CMA. I will tell you one other thing that's very cost effective and that you may want to consider to get listing leads is simply create a flyer. The top of the flyer says, I'm looking for a house for a buyer in this neighborhood. That's the heading of the flyer. The rest of the flyer, I don't care what you put. You know, you put your contact information, you put a paragraph explaining what you're looking for. But I think you should create a flyer that says at the top, nice big bold letters, I'm looking for a house for some buyers in the neighborhood. Or I'm looking for a house in the neighborhood for some buyers. Sorry, I did that wrong. Now, what I would do is that you can run those copies off very inexpensively, and I would pay a college kid to distribute that flyer to as many places as possible. The supermarket, post them, give it to the manager, the post office, anything in your community, vendors, delis, pizzerias, etc. Have some college kid go out there, hand the flyer, and if it'd be better if the college kid said, yeah, I'm working with somebody, this realtor, it's a top realtor, and they're looking for some buyers, for houses for some buyers that they have. But I would just canvas, hire somebody to canvas, even at the supermarket, standing there handing out the flyers for you. College kids will do that inexpensively. The flyer is inexpensive. I would definitely do that. Okay, now, Tina, let's go over how to stay a little bit more focused, okay? And then I'm going to open up the call. We got 12 minutes left here. So, Tina, you're with me, yes?
Yeah, I'm here. Can I just explain real, or just briefly, when I say focused, what I'm saying, Well, one thing I run into is when I start to get, first of all, I have a very creative mind similar to yours. It just never stops. And when I get a lot of things going on, like when you were just going over all this, it gets almost overwhelming to me. I have to focus on one thing. If I don't focus on one, then I never get anything done. The other thing is the hurdle of getting over when you sit down thinking about, when I haven't expired, how many agents call the minute that thing expires? They're calling the owner. And so the competition all of a sudden overwhelms me. Okay, you got 20 other guys calling. Now I have to go past them.
Yeah.
And then the one other thing is the phone numbers. I'm having a hard time getting the phone numbers of a lot of the expired. So those are the three things.
Gotcha. All right, so let me jump to those. And by the way, Marie Lundy, I know you're on the call. Just hang in there. I'm going to answer your question, too, that you emailed to me before the call this morning. So, Tina, as far as the focus and when you feel overwhelmed and everybody else on the call, here's one of the suggestions that I have, is have some kind of dump file, whether it's a Word document or it's a board that you write on. Anytime you get these ideas, like I just gave a whole bunch of ideas, and Tina, you said you're starting to feel overwhelmed. So take the ideas and just dump them in a file somewhere. And the reason why you want to do that is because then you subconsciously say, well, I don't have to do everything right now. I wrote it down. It's there. It's there for me to go back to it when I'm ready to go back to it. So keep one place, even if it's a file folder, I don't care, but find some kind of system where you can dump your ideas into. And that's the first thing. The second thing is, yes, you got to just focus on one thing. You can't do a bunch of things. You're not going to be effective. So just take one thing you're going to commit to implementing this week. If it's a bigger project, something you're going to commit to just doing one month. The problem that most of us have is that when we are very creative and we want to do a lot of things, well, if you keep just wanting to do a lot of things, you wind up doing nothing. So it's better to just have that one thing and focus on that one thing, and then once you do that, go on to the next thing. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other thing, Tina, is a good friend of mine, we were just talking about this, where he's overwhelmed. And so I gave him a software that we use in my office, and he's been using it now for a month, and he said it's changed his life, okay?
Okay.
And here's what it's called. It's called NOZBE, N-O-Z-B-E. N as in Nancy, OZ, Z as in zebra, B as in boy, and E.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hang on 1 second, because I hear somebody in the background. It sounds like they're having sex or something. And so I'm muting that person, whoever it was. Okay, now. I hope everybody else is laughing. All right, now, Tina, this NASB, here's what it is. There's a free version, there's a paid version. The free version, I think you can only do 4 or 5 projects. A project is like a file cabinet. So let's say you take your business and you break it up into categories. You have a category like prospecting, another category called money, and another category called buyers. So you have these categories, right? Then what you do is you create your to-do list in each one of those categories. With the buyers, it's like I want to do my file system. I want to set up appointments for the weekend. And let's say under prospecting, you have some other tasks, like I want to run the ad for the free over-the-phone market analysis. So in other words, you take all your to-dos, but you put the to-dos appropriate to the category. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, what you do is you look in the folder called prospecting, and you look at what's the first activity you should do. So let's say you got 5 activities in there, and there's one activity that, you know, which is the most important to do right now. Well, you put a star on that one activity. You go into the other file for buyers, and you look at your activities and say, all right, what's the next activity I need to do there? You put a star there. Now, so every category has a star for one of the activities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a separate folder called Next Action. This is part of the software. Next Action, here's what Next Action does. It only shows you the starred items. So what's awesome about this, Tina, is that when you're in the Next Action folder, you're looking at one task from prospecting, one from buyers, one from money management. So you're not getting overwhelmed. It's helping you stay focused, and you're at least touching at least one activity in each one of those categories. Are you with me?
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. The last thing I'm going to give you, Tina, and then I'm jumping over to Marie Lundy, is is that one of the things that has us not be focused is when we beat ourselves up for screwing up. And we start, like, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't do it again, and I keep making mistakes. I'll give you, for instance, like I last year, last quarter, I lost 25 pounds, right? And well, now I gained it all back. So I know what I need to do to lose the weight, but I woke up this morning and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, but you know what? It sucks that I gained it all back. And it's almost like I want to quit before I got started because you follow me? And so what I need to do is like, okay, I need to forgive myself. And we all do the same thing. It might be on prospecting, or it might be on getting listings. It's like, I know I should get listings. I had a good month in January, but then I stopped, and now I have no listings, and I'm pissed at myself. So what we have to do is forgive ourselves for falling or making mistakes, because if we don't, we're not going to recommit to the tasks that we know we need to do. I know the tasks that I need to do, and I won't commit to them if I keep beating myself up for the fact that I gained the weight back. And it's the same thing in our business and our prospecting. So you got to forgive yourself for anything that you are beating yourself up about. Does that help you?
Yes. Yep.
All right, Tina. Thank you so much. Hit *6, Tina, so you can mute yourself. Marie Lundy, are you on the call?
Yes, Daryl.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Marie, so your question, give me the question again real quick because we've got 5 minutes and I want to get it covered in our 5 minutes.
No, I just wanted to know for someone who...
Hang on, Marie. Marie, hang on 1 second. Everybody else on the call, here's what I want you to do because I know some of you may have questions. And as you can tell, depending on the questions and the value I think I'm giving, I can't answer everybody's question in 60 minutes. So the best thing for you to do is before you hang up this call, go to thepowerprogram.com. Type in your question that you want to ask me. There's a link there that says Ask Daryl a Question. Click on it, fill it out, email it to me. I'm going to print it out. I'm going to have it for the next call, and you will have preference. So I handle questions based on emails first. And then if I get through it all, then I open up to the actual asking me on the call. All right, Marie, I'm sorry. I just needed to make that announcement before people hung up. So go ahead. What's your question?
The question is, what do you suggest for listing presentations to giving a listing presentation to someone who's a talker, you know, and it's hard to get your thoughts in because they're always interrupting you.
Well, from when I saw your question come through, I was like, well, for me that was easy because I'm a talker New Yorker, so usually I can just interrupt people easily myself. But I know not everybody's like me, so here would be my alternative to that answer. Marie, is I would take your listing appointment and create like a table of contents like you would in a book. If you were to look at your listing conversation and break it up into like, here's the first thing I want to discuss, here's the second thing I want to discuss, here's the third thing I want to discuss. Are you following me so far, Marie?
Yes.
So what I would do is I would start my listing conversation by showing them, okay, so let me just share with you what I want to cover that I think is important for you. I think it's important we first look at step two, then I want to go over this with you because this is really important. Step three, I want to go over that with you. And then what I would do is take that page and keep it on the side on the kitchen table because you're going to need to flip through your book as you go through those sections, right? So if a homeowner starts to interrupt and talk too much, I would then go back to the table of contents, which is laying there, and I would say, Mrs. Hanna, that's awesome what you're saying. I'm probably going to say this about that too, and I want to make sure that I get to step two because I think that's real important for you. I don't want to be here all night with you unless you want me. Do you have an extra room for me to sleep in? What are we having for dinner tonight? Okay, good. Let me share. Whatever you can do, use that table of contents to help keep the conversation flowing. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for you always being great emailing me questions. I appreciate it, Marie. Keep doing it. All right. Okay.
All right.
So mute yourself, Marie. Now I do have like 2 minutes left. Does anybody have a question that you want to ask me? And here's what you can do: hit *6 on your keypad, and that will unmute you. It'll take a second for it to kick in, and then you can talk to me directly. Anybody? *6 one time. Does anybody have a question? Okay. Well, then here's what I'm going to say. I think this was an awesome call. There was some great stuff that came out of this for me anyway, as far as new techniques and stuff. Don't forget a couple of things. Do not get overwhelmed by all the stuff that we covered. Just pick one thing that you're going to implement in your business. The second thing is don't forget to come back to the Power Program website, thepowerprogram.com, Monday, Tuesday of next week. What will be up on the website is the magazine that will have even more stuff that can overwhelm you of things that you can use. There's going to be this call will be posted on the website. So if you wanted to listen to dialogue or review, it'll be there for you. Our interview is going to be up on that call also. So make sure you check back on the website. Yes, Liz, go ahead.
Daryl, real quick, what was the name of the site that you said you put the website information on? You posted it? I mean, you cut and pasted it, I guess, to note something? What was the site you...
Okay, great. Yeah, the Evernote, evernote.com.
Evernote, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool because if you use Explorer to surf the web or even Firefox, it sits in the header. It's like it becomes like part of Explorer. So when you're on a website, if you just click on the little icon for Evernote, it captures what you're looking at. It's really awesome.
That's cool.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so cool. And don't forget about redx.com. I mean, not redx, but go darylspecial.com. And the coupon code is SMILE for that. And nozbe.com is the other one we talked about. So, all right, gang, listen.
Daryl,
go out there.
I've got one question for you.
Go ahead.
I don't hear you say anything about REOs, bank-owned properties that go to auction, and the seller and the asset manager don't listen to the price that you've given in a BPO. They set it at their own price, which is way too high for the area. What are the objections? How do you get them to change their mind, or you just sit and wait?
I'll be honest with you. I would be blowing smoke at you if I try to answer that, because my person, I don't have, working with REOs and short sales and all that stuff, I never did as an agent. That's something that, like me trying to teach, I had a scuba dive. I know I'm certified to scuba dive, but I can't really teach it. So, I'm sorry. I feel the you now just stumped me with a question that I can't help you with.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's such a different animal when you're working with REOs and foreclosures. To me, that's like a combination of listing and selling skills and commercial skills. Like doing commercial real estate has so many different elements to it beyond the listing and selling techniques, and that's how I feel about REOs and foreclosures, and I don't know that
and
world.
Auction. And I have a property that's been to 4 different auction companies.
Yeah,
the last
see.
Auction companies raised the price by 15,000 or more.
Well, do me a favor. Shoot me. I'm going to say go end the call for us now because people are starting to hang. But send me an email on that. Send me an email anyway, because what I'll do is if I can find something for you, like somebody that could answer you, I'll look into that for you, all right? But send me the email so it'll be my reminder, okay?
Thank you, Daryl.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for calling and participating. I appreciate it. Listen, gang, go out there, knock them alive. And don't forget that the more people we help buy and sell real estate, the more money we make, the more lives we touch, the more money we make. So your money that you make is a gauge as to how many people you've helped and served in the most important decision in their life. So go get those listings. You're going to need them these coming months. It's very important, gang. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Daryl.
Bye-bye.